City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago and the Light in the Piazza. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. This is the Windy City Queercast, show number 117. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Peter, where have you been?
I know, we're back.
Oh my lord. It's like, it's like been pulled away from the umbilical cord of you.
Oh, June is done. I can't believe that. I felt like I saw you in like May sometime.
Yeah.
And then
it's like over.
I haven't seen you since then.
It's crazy, I have to tell you.
Oh my God. I have two words, and these have been my mantra since I got back from New York. Spring awakening.
Yeah, you went to go see it, huh?
Just get on the plane and go, people.
You loved it?
Do not. I more than loved it.
I haven't listened to the last show, so I know I'm going to go home and do it after we...
I adore it. I adore it, and it's just this whole... I mean, you're going to find something about your childhood.
Yep.
When you're... That weird part when you were coming out, when you were learning about your body, when you were touching yourself, when you were realizing you wanted to touch other people and who those other people were and how it came out. It's just such a beautiful thing. And Lea Michele robbed... Totally think she should have got the Drama Desk and the Tony, but that's just me.
Over Christine Ebersol in Grey Gardens?
Because this girl is so young and has this much talent so young.
Yes. Yeah.
She's not a matured actress, but she's a very mature actress. She's not a mature woman, but she's a mature actress. It's it's just amazing, this show. Just amazing. And Duncan Cheek, love you. Congratulations.
Wow.
So that basically was New York in a nutshell. I talked about
it
a lot on the last time.
Did you see anything else?
Yes.
What else?
We went to see Broadway Bears, which was just a fun show. It wasn't as good as last year. Something was a little lacking. It was Greek mythology, so I loved it. But I think for people who didn't get the mythology, it kind of went over their heads.
Mavrikos.
Well, you know, it's in my genes. It's in my blood. And then we saw Isaac Mizrahi, of course.
Oh, you did?
A joy to see Isaac Mizrahi on stage in a cabaret show, kicking ass in cabaret.
Did
Isaac Mizrahi
really?
At Joe's Pub. It was fan-fucking-tastic.
Really? I didn't even know he was doing that.
Yeah,
Joe's Pub is so fantastic.
Oh, it's just such a wonderful space to eat in and to be in. And it was, you know, it was delightful. And then, you know, wandered around and what else? Well, we saw the True Colors, of course, which I know you saw.
So tell me your impressions of True Colors.
Debbie Harry needs to not be on stage anymore.
What happened?
So you felt it too?
Mitchell and I talked about it. You know, I don't know what was going on with her, but... you know, the fact that she didn't sing any of her old stuff, which she just really should have, totally can
just
do her
at least
new stuff,
one or two.
But she should have done Rapture or Time Is the Tide
Something.
Is High, or she could
Something.
Have done Maria, which is a new one.
Yeah.
She could have done anything to just kind of like get us with her. But
It felt like that segment of the show was so non sequitur.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit. And she didn't really talk much, which I was sad about. So
did you love the Dresden Dolls? They were fiercely bizarre and European and...
Their music is amazing. Her voice, I don't so much care for.
Yeah.
But the music was so enthralling. I just loved her piano playing and I loved everything she was doing.
They're so fierce, just though. So, I just thought they had such energy.
Yeah, but I don't like her voice. There was something, it just grated on me. You know, some of those, sometimes you hear someone and you're like, oh.
See, I wasn't very close up, but I imagine that he especially just looked like a specimen of sinew. And
we got to see all of them because we were at Radio City and they all came out down in the, have you ever been to Radio City?
Yeah.
You know where the bathrooms are?
Yeah.
They put a table just next to them. So everybody was coming down and hanging out down there after they performed.
Yeah, I'm sure they did that in Chicago. I just didn't leave my little comfortable nook.
But we were, it was an amazing show. The gossip, I mean, Beth Ditto.
See, we didn't have the gossip. We didn't have the gossip.
So you got the clicks instead of the gossip.
Because
we did not get the clicks.
Did the gossip open?
No, Caswell and Amanda Lepore opened.
No, we didn't have them.
Oh, yeah. We had them, and then we had the gossip, who just, again, Beth Ditto, you are my life. She was so great. She got up on stage, and right before she sang, you know, their big single at the very end, she said, this is for all the fat girls who protected all their fags in high school and everything and stood up and loved the fag hags. It was just so great. She was so energetic and everyone kept commending her the entire show. Like every single performer, except Debbie Harry, who didn't talk at all, kept talking about Beth Ditto the entire time.
Now, Rosie was also in New York for you all, right?
Right. She did her stand-up bit. Did she do it by you? Did she call Elizabeth a cunt?
No.
Because I believe she called Elizabeth a cunt.
She didn't even mention Elizabeth.
Oh, she did in New York.
She just slammed Donald Trump, but no.
Oh, she did. Well, she did the Donald Trump thing. And then she told this wonderful story about her son's friend asking about gay people.
Yeah,
with
she
the little
did that.
Thomas the Train. But yeah, she said something about, you know, she said, a cunt.
Really?
Yeah, she slurred something in there, which was delightful. It felt really good
to
hear that. But she was great. Margaret Cho, amazing the entire time. Just such a good MC. I loved her doing her running commentary. And then Cyndi Lauper, who decided to shut everything down and talk for a good 15, 20 minutes, which was amazing.
Yeah.
She was like, people, you just got to take care. And she really went off and it was delightful.
She touches my heart, the little Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah,
I love her. The little purple hair.
Did they have a little, like, did they have the queer baby singing with her at the end here? Did they have like a kids queer chorus or something?
No.
They had one in New York, like the Harlem Kids Gay Chorus or something.
No.
I was like looking at all these teenagers up on stage. I'm thinking they are at Radio City Music Hall singing with Cyndi Lauper and all the rest of these people on stage. It was just an amazing experience. But was it electric? It just felt electric, the whole show.
It was really good. It was really, really fun. You know, I have to say, we had erasure. Did you all have erasure?
We had erasure.
I'm not a huge erasure fan, but people bounced up and down and
the crowd
seemed to enjoy that. And I really felt like the sound at the auditorium, it was too loud.
I never think the auditorium is a loud concert type.
It was loud. It was really loud and to the point where sometimes I felt like the music was overpowering the voices.
Oh.
And you know, and so that was just kind of my take on it. I thought Cyndi sounded the best and you know, and it was totally a good time.
Mm.
And you know, people seemed to really be enjoying it and all different walks and types of people there. But,
Radio City was just, I've never seen the crowd that diverse to begin with, being in there.
Did you see any celebs in the audience?
We weren't close enough probably to see them, but, I don't know. I was kind of in a daze by that point because we had already been to New York so many days.
I
don't know. And I'm still, after we saw Spring Awakening, I could think of nothing else.
Spring Awakening. You're like, this is good. This marathon first time in history gay tour is good, but it's not Spring Awakening.
It's not Spring Awakening. It's not Lea Michele up there pleading for her mother to teach her how to touch herself. So yeah. It's, oh my God, the show is so good. Okay, I gotta stop because I'm just going on and on about it. How was your pride?
You know what? Oh, my pride. Okay, so this is how my pride went.
she looks heavenward.
No. So this is what it looks like. Like Tuesday night before Pride, I went to see Janine Garofalo at the Lakeshore Theater here in Chicago and Patton Oswalt and some cute little opening act guy who I thought was great. So it was three comedians. It was really packed. Lakeshore Theater, great place to see comedy. I know Scott Capurro is coming there.
Yep.
I highly recommend people coming. Judy Tenuta is getting ready to come
there.
So just totally go to their lakeshoretheater.com website because I really want to support them. I want them to do well. They're in the heart of Boys Town and there's so many great people they can bring in. And Janine Garofalo is wicked smart and very funny. Mm-hmm. And Patton Oswalt played with this dyke lesbian drunk off her ass in the front row. And that was his whole bit. And he like turned around and he was like, you have just given me the biggest gift of my night. Like, you can't imagine. Like, he didn't even do his material. He just literally worked off this woman. He had a drunk, butch, older lesbian next to a transgendered person from Gary, Indiana. So if you can imagine this duo.
Welcome to Chicago.
Honest to God, you know, and here's this straight comic and he is just going to town with a slightly queer and slightly straight and totally political savvy audience. So it was really a fun night. Then Wednesday night I had the 30 under 30, which was, which you got last year.
Right.
And it was beautiful. It was amazing. It was one of the most amazing experiences I've had in the past few years. Because we were in the center on Halsted. It's a beautiful theater. Stephen Rader helped me co-host, and you were definitely mentioned and missed. But he did a great job. And it was just really big hats off to Andrew Davis because he did a lot of work. And it was just a really beautiful, beautiful night. And what I saw from that is over the past few years, you and I talking about the center on Halsted, I was like, I saw its function. And I saw it functioning in a way that I was like, okay, we have a really classy group of people, you know, activists and individuals, queer individuals, and a beautiful environment in which to do this and feel very sophisticated. And obviously, it's been great in all the years we've been in restaurants and things like that. But it just felt really...
this is what it's for.
It really felt amazing. Yeah. And then I hopped on a plane because my partner and I had the opportunity to go out west. And we left for Santa Fe, New Mexico on Thursday, and we were in Santa Fe for Gay Pride, and which shocked so many people. I was like, what are you doing? You invited me over to your party. Yeah. You know, like, what are you doing Gay Pride? And I was like, I'm leaving town.
I'm going.
You know? Okay, so here's the funny thing, folks, is that when you do what Peter and I do, or at least when you do what I do, because I am in this job 24/7. Peter is, his heart is in it 24/7, but he goes out into the straight world and deals with corporate America and money and stuff like that.
And money. I love that. And money.
Money changes everything.
Yes, basically.
But I'm in it 24/7, you know, 365 days out of the year. And my motto when I said yes and we decided to go on this trip was, you know, really, I'm just going to leave pride to the amateurs. That was kind of how I had to think of it. People who aren't professional gays, which is what I am. And I'm a professional lesbian. And so I left town. And so there you are, folks. I'm really sorry. I hope you all had a wonderful time. I know Chicks Mix had a great party. I heard you had a great party. I just heard about all the great parties and the parade was great. From what I hear, you'll tell me more. But I have to tell you that I got to Santa Fe and we landed there and we're walking around the plaza. For anybody who's been to Santa Fe, it's so gorgeous. It's such a mystical, wonderful, beautiful, artistic place and very welcoming. It's a really gay friendly place.
Lesbians.
Well, one would think, right? And so we're walking around, we walk in this bookstore and my partner Kelly says, oh, look, there's a whole poster about pride events. And she goes, the Gay Pride Parade's on Saturday. And I just had the biggest like, well, duh. Like I thought, I don't know why, I didn't realize I was probably going somewhere that was going to have Gay Pride themselves.
You thought you were going somewhere that was going to be straight?
I just thought I was going to miss Gay Pride and miss the parade. And here I am in Santa Fe and it's happening in Santa Fe the same weekend, which was totally fine. Yeah. I have to tell you though, the funny thing was that the day before we walk around the plaza, the parade was going to be on Saturday and they had some parties like Friday night. We didn't go to any of it. We were in Bandelier National Park in a pueblo, like in a cave lodge cut into the, you know, the natural side of a mountain. That's where I was during the pride parade in Santa Fe. But I have to tell this because it's so funny. There was all these police cars and blocking off everything. We were coming out of the George O'Keefe Museum, which was pretty gay, right? That's pretty gay. That's
big giant badge on the wall.
It's pretty lesbian, you know, but for me. And and we're walking out of there and all these cop cars, blah, blah, blah. So at the end of the plaza, like at the east end of the plaza, there is the big St. Francis Cathedral, which is obviously Catholic Church Cathedral. And all these cop cars around it and there are cops on bikes and cops on cars and cops in cars and one of the guys in bikes, I said, so what is this? And he goes, actually, it's they're going to have the bishops here today. And I was like, well, what bishops? And he was like, about 250 of the United States bishops.
Oh, wow.
And literally as he said that, and they were blocking off parts of the street, and there were probably about 30 of us hovering. And all of a sudden come these enormous tour buses, like five of them in a row.
Wow.
And they pull right in front of me and Kelly and like this guy on a bike, you know, like cops everywhere. And, but there weren't that many people because it's such a tiny little town.
Right,
it's such
a
weird thing. And then all of a sudden the doors open and then just row after row of black cloaked white headed, really? Bald white men mostly walked in, 250 of them.
The Bishopmobiles.
It was bizarre. I was like, so the bishops were there. And then the next day was, you know, was Gay Pride. And the newspaper said the next day, hundreds show up for the Gay Pride parade.
What did we have? 450,000 here in Chicago?
I have no idea. Yeah, but, you know, quoting. It was very sweet from what I heard. Hundreds show up. But I kind of laughed that with all the things going on with the Catholic Church that 250 bishops show up not 24 hours, less than 24 hours before the parade. And, you know, it was a big national tour, so they ended up in Santa Fe. It just cracked me up. And I was talking to a bartender the night before Kelly went in to get some cigarettes, and the guy was sitting out on the stool, and I was like, so how is it tonight? This was Saturday night, the night of after the Pride Parade.
Right.
And I said, how is it tonight? He goes, oh, it's pretty slow. He goes, God, we were slammed Friday night. And I said, yeah, all those bishops, right? All coming in. And he started, he was like one of these bouncers who, he's one of these bouncers who totally is stone faced, you know? And he right. just, I totally made him laugh.
Yay.
He was like, maybe. And I was like, yeah, they went and changed out of their frocks.
Right.
They took tear the black it up, off have some margaritas right. and mojitos in Santa Fe.
Bishops got a party too.
So that was my pride. My pride was bishops and George O'Keefe and yeah. hundreds showing up for the Santa Fe Pride Parade. Aww. But we went to a Japanese spa. That was a Ooh. Highlight of my weekend. I Yay. Thought of my Machine Amy.
Machine Amy this year.
And yes, it is good in Ichiban. I was in the Ichiban.
The best. Yes. Ichiban da yo.
So that was my weekend. How about you? Tell me all about Chicago, because I haven't heard. And yeah. I'm notoriously not asking by parade. Good, bad, better than last year? What do you think?
What I saw of it, good. Let's rewind, though, because okay. I almost didn't think I was going to make it back to Chicago in time. All our flights were canceled on Tuesday in New York. So we ended up accidentally spending an extra day in New York. An extra evening, basically.
That's okay.
We were at
Who
the
hates
airport.
That? Well, unless you're at
I
the
do,
airport.
Because we were at the airport from 1 in the afternoon until midnight when they finally canceled everything.
Jesus
so we were
Christ.
There 12 hours. They canceled it all. Thank God my friend Todd had literally met this boy the night before and we crashed at his place.
Okay.
So it was weird. Okay. So we got up in the morning and then made our way back to LaGuardia and just spent a good portion of the day coming back. So I didn't even make it back in town until late. I couldn't even have made the 30 under 30 if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I actually didn't make it in until late, and I was sticky, and our luggage made it to Chicago on Tuesday. We didn't make it to Chicago until Wednesday.
How does that happen? How do the pigeons carry right? your luggage?
You're on the first flight and then they cancel it, but your luggage goes on the flight. You just don't, your body doesn't. I was like, I will take a porta potty. Can I sit in the John, please? I can strap myself
That's
down.
So strange.
So it was so awful. So we finally get back to Chicago. La la la. I'm doing everything. And then I realized, okay, I've just lost a day in party planning.
Oh no. Martha Stewart, what will you
right.
do?
Right. And I have a list over there of all the Greek food because it was my big fat Greek pride party.
Oh.
So I had literally 3 days worth of cooking I had to take care of in about 2.5 days. So I spent Friday and Saturday in the kitchen, pretty much.
Of course you did.
Pretty much, you know, and I loved it. It was a labor of love. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. But come Sunday morning, a couple of boys crashed at my house because they knew they were going to be in the parade early in the morning. They had an early call. They had a 9:30 call. So I said, well, just come over. You can hang out on the couch and la, 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 la. So we get up in the morning and I end up getting up an hour late. That I should have gotten up like 2 hours earlier, and I got up like an hour later. I was like, oh shit. So I start running. Thank God my sister and her boyfriend came early. They helped me set up the whole house. So by the time the parade started, we were just finishing getting everything ready for the parade. And it was fun because everybody showed up. Yeah. We had a great time. So I saw bits and pieces of the parade. The large shopping cart was back this year. Which
from the Jewel.
I love that. Yes, the Jewel shopping cart was back. And of course, we're right at the corner of the beginning of the parade.
Yeah.
So we got to see everything. I had about 50 people in my house.
Oh my God.
And everyone was packed onto the front balcony, packed in the living room. And then the other people were eating with me in the dining room for most of the thing. But it was just so wonderful. It was so wonderful to have an eclectic group of people share that day with me.
Yeah.
And that's really what I wanted. The parade is great.
Yeah.
But I don't really like watching the parade. That's sort of why I had a party, so that people who wanted to watch the parade could stand in my window and look out and watch it. But I just wanted to be around my good friends and have a good time and just all come together and party and be great. And, you know, I spent a lot of it out on my back porch just hanging out with friends and relaxing. But a lot of people who had never seen the parade before had came, so they got to see the parade for the first time in style, as I say. And
And they're saying 450,000 people?
450,000 people.
How does it get that big every year? It gets bigger and bigger and
bigger. Bigger and bigger. There are 200 some odd floats this year. Wow. It was just amazing. I got to see many, many of them. I did get to see a good slice of it, but not all of it. I didn't see it. Got to see John Amici in the beginning. That was interesting to see him go by. And then, because I had such a long day, I actually did not go out afterwards. So yeah. I was in my house from Saturday until Monday.
Yeah.
I didn't really go out. But what was so amazing to me is I kept going out on my balcony that night after everybody left. And, you know, there's that whole post-party depression where you're like, oh, my house is empty now.
Yeah.
And,
what do I do?
Right. What do I do? And everybody helped me clean, so I really didn't have too much else to do. So I went out on my balcony, but just to see people walking up and down, smiles on their faces, boys hand in hand, girls hand in hand, question mark, hand in hand with question mark. Everybody was just having such a wonderful time. There was just such good energy. And, you know, I went to lay down to sleep and I could still hear the partying going on. Mm. I could still hear the noise and I could still hear the sound. So it was just a wonderful day. It just couldn't
have
been any better.
What a wonderful life you have, Peter Maverick.
I was very blessed and very lucky.
You are very blessed to have 50 friends come over and celebrate Pride with you, including family members. And, and just to have that kind of experience and to give to your friends and be able to host them and let them have a great experience. That's fabulous.
And now I have a fridge full of beer and vodka for days. So.
There you go. The next Queercast we do.
Right. How you doing?
How you doing?
It's going to be fun. But this year, I have to say though, this year, you know, I had a good friend of mine, and I believe we talked about this last year. I had a good friend of mine who committed suicide around Pride.
Yeah.
And this year I didn't feel it. This is the first year it didn't hurt.
Well, you did good things for yourself so that you could be in the positive of this time period and create new memories.
Yeah, it was just this year was the first year, and I finally feel like, wow, I don't dread it coming next year, because I almost dreaded it coming. But I was like, that's kind of why I have to keep myself so busy and do it. So yeah, it turned out to be just a super great year.
I have to be here next year.
You
do. It should become an annual party.
You do. You do. Now we're telling all of you out there about this party, but I have to say that the guest list is pretty damn restrictive, because the people on the second floor on the second floor of my building did not have a restrictive guest list. And the cops showed up, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people in the building that should not have been there.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Yeah. So this is why it has to be very, you know, very VIP.
Very VIP. Very, very important people.
Not to be elitist, but it has to be VIP so it doesn't get crazy.
Hey, you know what? Just a little teaser. Coming up in the month of July, Peter and I are going to do something we've never before done.
Yes.
Peter and I are going to have one-on-one. And what that means is Peter is going to spend the entire hour or Queercast interviewing me, asking all the questions,
digging,
trying to help you get to know Amy Matheny.
Mm-hmm.
And I am consequently going to do the same thing to Peter Maverick.
I'm a little scared.
And it's going to be quite fun, because even though we talk to each other all the time, there's tons of stuff that we one would want to know about each other, and also things that maybe we kind of know that we want you to know.
Yeah.
So look forward to that here in July, because we're also coming up to August as our big 1 year anniversary going into our second year, which is just crazy. And so more and more, we're going to try to do more to let you know what we think the past year has been about and where we're looking ahead for the second year. But one person who's been with us from the beginning is Richard Knight Jr.
Yes.
Richard has been with us on the Windy City Radio. And we have a lot more coming up in the show with movies and DVDs for July. And so that's going to be the rest of the show. So we hope that you'll stay tuned, and we'll be back after this.
The overture begins. The music swells. You're swept away to the Piazza Michelangelo to discover the light in the piazza. Broadway's most romantic new musical in years, and the winner of 6 2005 Tony Awards. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian, and it begins. The passion, the romance, Broadway's ultimate love story, The Light in the Piazza. Critics have hailed it a must-see, a consummate work of beauty, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now let it win your heart. The Light in the Piazza.
This romantic new musical is coming to the Auditorium Theater July 10th through July 22nd. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says, I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, baby.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Great Toronto Summer Adventures! Today's episode, We Will Rock You! Legend has it that audiences at Queen's smash hit musical can't help but leap to their feet when the music starts. This is nonsense, of course, but it serves as a metaphor for... Oh my... Woohoo! Oh, I meant to do that. Hotel rates from $92 a night. Some conditions apply. Details at TorontoSummerAdventures.com. Oh, my head.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 24th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Openly gay actor, author, comic, playwright Scott Capurro comes to the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway, during Pride Month for two nights only, June 29th and 30th at 8 p.m. Don't miss his hilarious and provocative show on gay culture and life. Tickets are only $15. For tickets to Scott Capurro, call 866-468-3401 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
Now on stage at Victory Gardens Biograph is acclaimed lesbian playwright Claudia Allen's I Sailed with Magellan, adapted from Chicago author Stuart Dybbuk's novel. Breathe deep, look and listen as Allen transforms from page to stage Dybbuk's memories of Chicago's back streets circa 1950. Passionate, poetic, and powerful. For tickets to I Sailed with Magellan, call 773-871-3000 or go to victorygardens.org.
Northwestern University presents a new musical theater event at its Summer Music Theater Festival with Perfect Relationship, A Salute to Comedian in Green, running July 6th through 29th. The festival's featured musical will be In the Bubble, opening July 27th, directed by Michael Grief, director of Rent. Tickets start at $25. Call 847-491-7282 or visit tic.northwestern.edu.
The grandeur of Shakespeare and the signature intimacy of writers' theater combine to create the potential for theatrical nirvana. Othello, the masterpiece of a general led into a frenzy of jealousy and insecurity by his most trusted soldier. Come closer to Shakespeare than you ever thought possible and fully realize the breathtaking characters of the world's greatest playwright. For more about Othello, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Looking Glass Alice is playing now at its home at Looking Glass Theater Company in the Water Tower Waterworks after an East Coast tour. Adapted by David Catlin from Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, Looking Glass Alice is an acrobatic and dizzyingly playful show for all ages. Variety called it extraordinary. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In New Jersey, lesbian couple Harriet Bernstein and Louisa Pastor have filed a civil rights lawsuit against Ocean Grove Camp Meeting Association, a church group that owns beachfront property where the twosome was prohibited from holding a civil union ceremony. The couple applied months ago to rent the pavilion for their ceremony, but their application was rejected and their money returned. A civil rights director said that this is the first complaint regarding discrimination in public places under the state's new civil union law.
An amendment that would have halted funding overseas abortions and another that would use some AIDS funding for abstinence education have both failed in the U.S. House. The former measure failed 218 to 205, while the latter, which would have protected a spending directive for abstinence until marriage programs under the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief, came up short by a vote of 223 to 201.
A survey taken for CareerBuilder.com revealed that 28% of LGBT employees have dealt with harassment in the workplace. Among the complaints were not receiving credit for work performed and coworkers talking behind their backs.
In Delaware, a measure that would prohibit sexual orientation discrimination failed to garner enough votes for the full state Senate to consider it. While the supporters of the bill, which is now stuck in committee, say that it would protect gays, lesbians, and bisexuals, opponents contend that the bill would, among other things interfere with a business owner's right to hire whomever he or she wanted for a job.
New York City's GLBT Community Center is embarking upon a $50 million expansion. The facility, where groups ACT UP and GLAAD started, have already received $9 million from Mayor Bloomberg's office, the City Council, and Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer's office.
Republican former Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, who twice tried to lead attempts to have the U.S. Constitution prohibit same-sex marriage, will teach courses at his alma mater, Princeton University. During the upcoming year, Frist, age 55, will teach a graduate course on health policy and an undergraduate course on a similar subject.
Isn't that supposed to be excellence in education,
yeah,
Princeton?
Come on now.
Susan G. Komen for The Cure has announced the members of its new Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Persons National Advisory Council. Among the members is Kathleen DeBold, an interim executive director of the Service Members Legal Defense Network and former executive director of the Mountner Project, a national lesbian health agency.
In Portland, Oregon, TriMet Transit Agency General Manager Fred Hansen apologized to two teen girls who were told to get off a bus because they kissed each other. The 14-year-old said that the bus driver called them sickos and then made them leave the bus. Hansen said that we welcome all riders to our system.
Former Grey's Anatomy co-star Isaiah Washington, sour grapes.
Ugh.
He is saying that ABC should have fired T.R. Knight. Washington told the Houston Chronicle that Knight, a gay actor, manipulated a controversy where Washington uttered an anti-gay slur in order to get a salary raise, that Knight was trying to get a salary raise. Washington, who might sue, said that he initially used the slur, quote, during a disagreement with Patrick Dempsey. I apologize for that. We shook hands and went back to work.
Sour grapes, you're right. And a gay man may replace Rosie O'Donnell on The View.
Oh my God.
See, did we not talk about
you
this?
Did
we not talk
you
about this?
You are clairvoyant.
I took my ESPN pills.
Call me now.
Mario Cantone and Ross Matthews are both contenders to fill O'Donnell's shoes. I think Cantone should do it. Cantone, who will co-host on July 12th, is best known for his role on Sex and the City, while Matthews, slated to co-host on July 17th, is Ross the intern on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
You know, Mario would be loud enough that he could actually barrel over.
Everybody else, Joy and Elizabeth.
But Ross is not strong enough to be like the anchor.
No, not at all.
They had Gail King on. Maybe she'll do it too.
Oh, Gail.
Maybe she'll be the token black woman because they need one, right?
Yes, we'll see. Oprah's girlfriend, you know that. Oprah's boyfriend, either way. Six and one half a dozen. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
The month of July, right in the middle of the month, and this is when we're really settling into the fact that it is summer and it still continues to be a great time for movies. Richard and I are hanging out at our watering hole, the Starbucks.
Once again,
where we're
now it's a hot day. Remember,
it
how
is
nice
so hot.
It
was so
June.
Nice in June, wasn't
oh
it?
God,
but it's Chicago, so we'll take it wherever we get it. But there's
what's with you dykes in the heat?
I don't know.
Your
we just
heat.
Like to put the electrical tape on our nipples and march down the street.
I was gonna say, you get on that bike over there.
So, July in the movies, is this a good time to get in and get cool? What's going on? What are the big movies?
Well, of course, every action-loving person in the world is going to love Transformers.
Well, I love it. I like action, but I don't know if I'm a Transformer child.
Well, they're saying it's kind of, I haven't seen it yet, but it's, you know, it's a Michael Bay picture.
Yes.
You know, the guy, Independence Day, it's got that whole alien thing, and now they got the special effects down in Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the young, little, you know, up-and-comer is the kind of the main person.
Now, were these based on the little toys that boys would have played with and maybe little butch girls?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So there's that element to it. And when I think of all the summer blockbusters, this is the one, or maybe the one that we'll talk about later in August with Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman. But, I you know, looks like big, fun, dumb, you know, us against them. And
yeah. Well, I have to say, July only means one thing to me, and that means that this week I get my Harry Potter book, so I get to find out what happens at the end of the saga.
Don't
but I get enough. I won't tell you. I'm very good. I never tell anybody. But that I also
because I have my book pre-ordered for 7 months, but that I also get to see the next Harry Potter movie.
Yes.
And I'm kind of a fan. Like, they kind of haven't gone wrong with me yet. Like, it's just so fun to see these British actors and to see the same three kids grow up. And so that's coming out as well.
Yes, it's Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
He just came off fresh off his Equus run, his naked Equus run on the West End, Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah,
so he may prick up some more ears of the queers come out and see the show as he ages.
And I kind of wonder now, having done that, if it's going to change, you know, because Harry in the last one was already kind of moving toward, like, more, you know, sexy,
that's the way the books keep going, you know. Okay. They are allowing him to age. They're allowing him to become more angry about his situation. So, you know, I continue to think that we're going to continue to see these movies get darker and darker and more real. I don't know. I mean, more honest issues for a struggling teen, which is kind of where he's heading now.
Wizard, as it were.
Teen angst, you know.
Well, I gotta tell you,
teen orphan angst, because, you know, he's an orphan too.
Yes. After the first one, because people have urged me continually to read the books, and
the books are so much better than the movies.
After seeing the first movie, I was like, I'm so in love with this world.
Yeah.
I want to discover this every time. And that, you know, when it's all done, I may go back and read the books, because I know there's a lot of stuff that they've cut out. But, so I've been following him through the movies, and I know Voldemort, Ralph Fiennes, is a lot bigger in this movie, much more about him. So, it'll be interesting to see. I'm first in line for that one.
Yeah, me too. We should call each other.
Yeah. Now, that same day, this is mid-July.
Yep.
Same weekend is the big, major, kind of gay, cutesy, whatever, movie from the studio. This is I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Which is this movie with Adam Sandler and Kevin, King of Queens.
Smith? Kevin.
Is that his name, Kevin?
I don't know.
Large guy.
Yeah. James.
Kevin James. Thank you. It's on my sheet there. And this movie's been around for a long time, but they finally, with Adam Sandler, got it made. And
so is it making fun of them being gay, or are they really gay? Or
they're not gay. They play two guys from Brooklyn who are firefighters who pretend to be a couple in order to get benefits.
Going back to the Michael Moore film we talked about last month, how many different weird finagling things we have to do
because they
to get basic benefits of healthcare in this country.
So I haven't seen the film yet, but I've been assured by the publicists who are going to tell me this anyway. But that it's very gay friendly, like Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
Which seems to be kind of the new trend.
Yeah.
You know, that they still score laughs, but they're not mean-spirited.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights did the same thing with the Sacha Baron Cohen character.
Right. So we're being included, and we're becoming something that we're being included in comedy, so that hopefully, I mean, it's the way it goes down, though, doesn't it? Like, we're kind of easily digestible in the comedy realm.
But
these are pretty big actors playing these parts.
But
so
what these films are telling me is that, you know, gay culture has so seeped into mainstream culture, it's not a big deal anymore. They can, people feel comfortable. You know, we're still not, we're still on the fringes ourselves.
Right.
Because these are straight characters reacting or pretending to be gay or whatever. You're not really seeing gay characters. Like in The Blades of Glory, bless you, it would have been... Bless you again.
I love
it's because of the
get...
heat. You've got that ragweed or whatever it is.
That's right.
Through that whole film, we never really saw any gay skaters.
Right.
You know, they handled it very well and very sensitively, and it was funny, and we were able to laugh along. But we still didn't see anybody say, you know what, I'm coming out.
Brian Boitano's.
Right. And we needed that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope is the next step.
I Now Pronounce You
Chuck and Larry. And it
now,
looks charming.
Speaking of the big just coming on out thing, we've got the big John Travolta coming out as a big overweight woman.
Yeah,
Baltimore woman, hairspray, which I am thrilled to see this. And I hear that, you know, like him or hate him, or think he's in the closet or think he's not, I don't know.
Or don't think.
And just enjoy Barbarigo. What was his name?
Barbarino.
Vinny Barbarino. Mr. Gata.
Yeah.
I have an affinity for loving John Travolta. And when he's on film, I mean, he's just kind of infectious. And they say he's really amazing in this. Is is what I have heard. I know you've not seen it because it's coming out later in the month.
But. Right. So they're lining up. You know, they've lined up.
You got Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah.
Michelle Pfeiffer's back.
Now, as Mink Stole told me, this is a version of the musical, the Broadway musical. This is not a remake of the John Waters film.
Right.
So a lot of the changes that they made for the musical are, you know, are, like they combined the station manager with Amber Von Tussle's mother, and mm-hmm. this is all the wonderful music and lyrics of Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, our queer-friendly couple,
yeah,
who did the score. And there's a brand new girl they found to play Tracy Turnblad.
Like a Cold Stone Creamery or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is random. And I mean, you got to think that it's going to have some gay sensibility because of who the writers are. And also the producers are the guys from Chicago and,
Craig Zaden and Neil... Yes.
Neil Maron.
Yes. So I'm kind of waiting to see. I loved the
Had Mink Stole seen it?
No, she had not.
Okay.
No. She had not, because the film hadn't really had its premiere yet. But of course, she was going to go, and she was excited. You know, you're excited. It's you know, it's queer subject matter, sort of.
Yeah.
If you reach back a little bit, I have to say, you know, when Oprah did her big show on it, she was the first one. Of course, they never once mentioned John Waters' name. They didn't mention Divine. They didn't mention Mark Shaiman through the whole movie, through the whole show.
Huh.
She just couldn't. She couldn't get past. Why are you playing a woman? Why are you playing a woman? So, I kept waiting for Travolta to say, well, because the character was originally envisioned for Divine, who was a female impersonator and had this whole career, and then became this perfect part for Harvey Fierstein and Bruce Valanche. And so, you know, that's just me being a pissy queen, but...
Yeah.
You're like, come on, let's honor the source material.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no reason to hide that under a bushel.
No.
Unless you're scared of audiences saying, I'm not going because it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a musical, people.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, people watched Rosie O'Donnell on television for a couple of years before, you know, Suburban Housewives might have thought she was gay. So who knows? It's all so crazy.
Yeah.
So anything else in July before we head to DVDs that we need to talk about?
Simpsons movie, end of the month.
Yep.
They're being very tight-lipped about that.
This is the first Simpsons movie ever?
First one.
Which is so interesting that shows like South Park, you know, had movie pretty quickly, and it's taken Simpsons... How many years they've been on there? 15 years?
15, something 17, like that? 18, 90. 90 years.
Dope!
Yeah, dope.
So how about DVDs in July? Is
okay,
there anything happening?
Well, for you ladies,
Puccini for beginners. That's the Maria Maggianetti.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not very Italian, obviously. I love Puccini and I love lesbians. We'll see how it is.
I get it confused with Grey Matters, which I want to say is the same month. They're both about lesbian romantic comedies in New York, very Woody Allen-ish.
Ah.
First Snow, the movie with Piper Perabo.
Oh,
and
the beautiful guy,
Guy Pearce from
last
Priscilla.
Very offbeat,
interesting. The Host, for you horror fans, the Japanese monster picture in the water. You know, that's supposed to be great. I didn't see it. That's coming out. Zodiac with Jake Gyllenhaal and Robert Downey Jr.
Which kind of just came and went.
Critics loved it. Audiences didn't love it.
Oh,
it's a very long, and it's a film that doesn't resolve. It's about a serial killer who they never caught, and it's a true story. It's very unsettling.
Is Gyllenhaal the serial killer?
No.
Oh.
He plays this comic book artist who becomes fascinated, takes over his life, destroys his marriage and everything. He's fascinated with what happened. And it's a good, and one of my favorites that audiences also didn't like was Perfume, the Story of a Murderer. Opened at the end of the year and played around the country. It's by the guy Tom Tykwer who did Run Lola Run.
Yeah, oh, I love that movie so much.
This is one of the most sensual films I've ever seen visually. It's absolutely stunning. The subject matter is not so wonderful for people sometimes, I think. It's about this France, 1800s, and this guy who's born with this unbelievable sense of smell. He can smell from miles away.
Wow.
He's born into this in slums of Paris. And
that's why it's called Perfume.
he goes on this quest after he meets this woman with the perfect scent, and through circumstances she's killed, and he wants to recreate the scent. So he finds all these different females, and he becomes a killer. And it's but I can't tell you visually, and the music is beautiful. He wrote the music too. Mm. So if you're looking for something,
sounds
very
like July
offbeat,
is a little darker and a little
July
more offbeat.
July is definitely a little darker. Do we have anything fun in July?
Not much. Keep watching that Reno 911 from the end of June.
Yeah, that's good. For you kind of retro fans, Land of the Giants. This old Irwin Allen TV series. Irwin Allen's the guy who made Poseidon Adventure. Well, in the 60s, he had a lot of TV shows. Time Tunnel, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and this one called Land of the Giants.
With
some major gay heartthrobs from the 60s. Where these people went to the, you know, wake up, their spaceship crashes, and they're in the Land of the Giants. And there's little tiny people. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How strange is that?
It's very fun, very retro. And the special effects are cheesy. And
July is a mixed bag, but still seems to be a fairly dark month, except for Hairspray. And I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry on the big screen. So we'll keep looking. We'll look forward to August with you and see what's going on then. You can definitely read all of Richard's reviews at nightatthemovies.com. And that's Knight with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T.
Buy my book.
At the Movies. You can buy his book there as well, which is fabulous. You can read some wonderful reviews over, see what he thinks are some of the most amazing films in queer cinema and what he thinks of them. And you can read what you think of them and what he thinks of them and see if you gel.
Just
I love
read.
That. Just read. Just try to read.
Just read.
Unlike what he's doing with the Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the movie review. read the book.
Great.
So, and Richard will be back with us. You can also check out Richard and Windy City Times every week. In the paper, if you can pick it up, if you're in the Chicago area. If not, you can go to WindyCityTimes.com. And thanks, Richard, for being with us. And I'm sure I'll meet you at Starbucks next month.
Goodbye.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.